بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم مبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين. يسر إخوانك في مكتبة الموحدين نرحب بفضيلة الشيخ عبد الله بن صلفيق الضفيري حفظه الله تعالى ليواصل تعليقه على تفسير الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله لفاتحة الكتاب. ليتفضل الشيخ، مشكورا مأجورا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فكنا عند قوله تعالى الرحمن الرحيم، وشرحنا في بداية السورة سورة الفاتحة مما ذكره شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله، وما يتعلق بالاستعاذة والبسملة، وشرح قوله تعالى الرحمن الرحيم. ونواصل اليوم تفسير هذه السورة مما ذكره شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله، واليوم نأخذ تفسير قوله تعالى الحمد لله رب العالمين. يقول شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله تعالى: وأما الفاتحة فهي سبع آيات، ثلاث ونصف لله وثلاث ونصف للعبد. فأوله الحمد لله رب العالمين. قال رحمه الله: فاعلم أن الحمد هو الثناء باللسان على الجميل الاختياري، فأخرج بقوله الثناء باللسان الثناء بالفعل الذي يسمى لسان الحال، كذلك من نوع الشكر. وقوله على الجميل الاختياري أي الذي يفعله الإنسان بإرادته. وأما الجميل الذي لا صنع له فيه مثل الجمال ونحوه، فالثناء به يسمى مدحا لا حمدا. والفرق بين الحمد والشكر أن الحمد يتضمن المدح والثناء على المحمود بذكر محاسنه، سواء كان إحسانا إلى الحامد أو لم يكن. والشكر لا يكون إلا على إحسان المشكور. فمن هذا الوجه الحمد أعم من الشكر، لأنه يكون على المحاسن والإحسان. فإن الله يحمد على ما له من الأسماء الحسنى وما خلقه في الآخرة والأولى. ولهذا قال: الحمد لله لم يتخذ ولدا، وقال: الحمد لله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض، إلى غير ذلك من الآيات. وأما الشكر فإنه لا يكون إلا على الإنعام، أي على ما ينعم الله به على العبد، فهو أخص من الحمد من هذا الوجه. لكنه يكون، أي الشكر، بالقلب واليد واللسان. ولهذا قال تعالى: اعملوا آل داود شكرا. والحمد إنما يكون بالقلب واللسان. فمن هذا الوجه الشكر أعم من جهة أنواعه، والحمد أعم من جهة أسبابه. ومعنى قوله أعم من جهة أنواعه أي أن الشكر يكون بالقلب، فتقر بأن هذه النعمة من الله، ويكون باللسان، تشكر الله بلسانك، وباليد وبالجوارح بأن تستعمل نعم الله بطاعته. فهذا من حيث أن الشكر أعم من جهة أنواعه. وأما الحمد فهو أعم من جهة أسبابه، لأن أسباب الحمد كثيرة كما ذكرنا وذكر شيخ الإسلام. وأما الشكر فأسبابه فقط من جهة الإنعام على العبد. والألف واللام في قوله الحمد لله للاستغراق، أي جميع أنواع الحمد لله لا لغيره. فأما الذي لا صنع للخلق فيه مثل خلق الإنسان وخلق السمع والبصر والسماء والأرض والأرزاق وغير ذلك فواضح. وأما ما يحمد عليه المخلوق مثل ما يثنى به على الصالحين والأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى من فعل معروفا خصوصا إن أداه إليه، فهذا كله لله أيضا، بمعنى أنه خلق ذلك، لأنه خلق ذلك الفاعل وأعطاه ما فعل به ذلك وحببه إليه وقواه عليه وغير ذلك من أفضال الله الذي لو يختل بعضها لم يحمد ذلك المحمود، فصار الحمد لله كله بهذا الاعتبار. إذن فالمحامد كلها لله عز وجل، فهي للاستغراق وليست للعهد. وأما قوله لله رب العالمين، فالله علم على ربنا تبارك وتعالى، ومعناه الإله أي المعبود، لقوله عز وجل وهو الله في السماوات وفي الأرض، أي المعبود، المعبود بحق، المعبود في السماوات والمعبود في الأرض. إن كل من في السماوات والأرض إلا آتي الرحمن عبدا. وأما الرب فمعناه المالك المتصرف. وأما العالمين فهو اسم لكل ما سوى الله تبارك وتعالى، فكل ما سواه من ملك ونبي وإنسي وجني وغير ذلك مربوب مقهور يتصرف فيه، فقير محتاج يتصرف فيه، فقير محتاج، كلهم صامدون إلى واحد لا شريك له في ذلك وهو الغني الصمد. وذلك وذكر بعد ذلك مالك يوم الدين، وفي قراءة أخرى ملك يوم الدين. فذكر في أول هذه السورة التي هي أول المصحف الألوهية والربوبية والملك، كما ذكره في آخر سورة في المصحف قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس. فهذه ثلاثة أوصاف لربنا تبارك وتعالى ذكرها مجموعة في موضع واحد في أول القرآن، ثم ذكرها مجموعة في موضع واحد في آخر ما يطرق سمعك من القرآن. فينبغي لمن نصح نفسه أن يعتني بهذا الموضع ويبذل جهده في البحث عنه، ويعلم أن العليم الخبير لم يجمع بينهما في أول الآخر في أول القرآن ثم في آخره إلا لما يعلم من شدة حاجة العباد إلى معرفتها، ومعرفة الفرق بين هذه الصفات، أعني التي ذكرها وهي الألوهية والربوبية والملك. فكل صفة لها معنى غير معنى الصفة الأخرى، كما يقال محمد رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وسيد ولد آدم، فكل وصف له معنى غير ذلك الوصف الآخر. إذا عرفت أن معنى الله هو الإله، وعرفت أن الإله هو المعبود، ثم دعوت الله أو ذبحت له أو نذرت له، فقد عرفت أنه الله. فإن دعوت مخلوقا طيبا أو خبيثا أو ذبحت له أو نذرت له فقد زعمت أنه هو الله. فمن عرف أنه قد جعل شمسان أو تاجا برهة من عمره هو الله، وشمسان وتاج ومثلهما يوسف رجال كان الناس في عصر شيخ الإسلام يعتقدون فيهم الولاية ويرفعون لهم من العبادة والدعاء ونحوهما ما لا ينبغي أن يرفع إلا لله عز وجل. قال: عرف ما عرفت بنو إسرائيل لما عبدوا العجل، فلما تبين لهم ارتاعوا وقالوا ما ذكر الله عنه، ولما سقط في أيديهم ورأوا أنهم قد ضلوا قالوا لئن لم يرحمنا ربنا ويغفر لنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. فدل على أن من صرف الألوهية أو الربوبية أو الملك لغير الله فقد أضاع نصيبه في الآخرة ووقع في الشرك. ولهذا فهذه حكمة الله عز وجل أن ذكر لنفسه هذه الصفات الثلاث في أول القرآن وفي آخره، ليعظم المسلم الله عز وجل ويعتقد الألوهية والربوبية والملك له وحده لا شريك له. فهذا شأن عظيم ولفتة من الشيخ مهمة أن يستشعرها المسلم ليعظم التوحيد في حياته، توحيد الربوبية وتوحيد الألوهية وتوحيد الأسماء والصفات. نقف إلى هنا اليوم، والله أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك فيكم، نفع الله بما قلتم شيخنا.
وإياكم بارك الله
فيكم. Our noble Sheikh Abdullah bin Salfiq al-Dhafiri, may Allah preserve him, began the fifth class in the explanation of the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, Shaykh Hassan Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, praising Allah Azza wa Jalla, invoking his peace and blessings upon the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said that in our previous class we left off in the part of the treatise which is explaining the difference between the two names of Allah, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. And we previously explained in the beginning of the tafsir of the surah, as mentioned by the author, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, the meaning of the isti'adha, that is our saying, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, before reciting Surah Al-Fatiha and other surahs of the Quran, and the meaning of the basmala, saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and also the meaning of the difference between the meanings of these two names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. These are the parts of the treatise that we previously took. And today we'll begin looking at the meaning of the seven ayahs of Surah Al-Fatiha itself. And the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, in beginning with the first ayah, after the independent ayah of the basmala at the beginning of Surah Al-Fatiha, began with explaining, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, and the Shaykh had very little commentary as the treatise is detailed yet self-explanatory. He mostly read from the treatise today. And so the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, said in this part of the treatise, as for Al-Fatiha, it is seven ayat. Three and a half are for Allah, and three and a half are for the servant. It begins with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise belongs to Allah, Lord of everything in existence. The author, rahimahullah, said, know that praise, Alhamd, indicates a verbal tribute made about beauty or kindness someone has chosen to perform. That Alhamd, praise, indicates a verbal tribute made about beauty or kindness someone has chosen to perform. Specifying a verbal tribute excludes any physical acknowledgement of or response to beauty or kindness, which would count as shukr, gratitude, not hamd, not praise. Specifying that which someone has chosen to perform excludes the likes of physical beauty because people don't choose them. Recognizing beauty is to be considered as a compliment, not praise. Istana, not hamd. The difference between hamd and shukr, that is the difference between praise and gratitude, is that hamd, praise, includes a compliment on some beauty or kindness, regardless of whether that was directed at the one doing the praising or not. Gratitude, shukr, on the other hand, is only due to the kindness of the one being thanked. Thus, alhamd, praise, is more general than shukr, gratitude, as it is given in response to both beauty and kindness. Allah is to be praised. He is to be given hamd. He is to be praised for his beautiful names and attributes, and for creating this life and the afterlife. Thus he says, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi alladhi lam yattakhidh walada. All praise belongs to Allah who has not taken a son. Allah says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard. All praise belongs to Allah who has created the heavens and the earth. There are many, many other such ayahs. As for shukr, gratitude, it comes only in response to some favor or act of kindness, and thus is more specific than hamd. It's more specific than praise. Shukr is more specific than hamd. However, can be shown with the heart, the hand, or the tongue, whereas hamd can only be expressed with the tongue. It's only a verbal tribute given. Shukr can be verbal, physical, or emotional. It can be something felt in the heart, something expressed with the tongue, or something done physically. Is gratitude. Giving thanks can be something felt in the heart. Gratitude can be something expressed verbally, or can be something physically done. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about doing acts of thanks, اعملوا آل داود شكرا. Do, perform, O family of Dawood, shukr, acts of gratitude. So praise is only shown with the heart and the tongue. Hamd is only with the heart and the tongue. Yet shukr is more comprehensive in its categories. And praise is more comprehensive in its causes. The letters Arif and Lam in Alhamd indicate inclusiveness. That is, every type praise. There's another type of Alif Lam that could indicate that we mention different types. In one sitting, we mention different types of something. But the last one mentioned, we would put Alif and Lam to indicate that we're talking about the very last one mentioned. That's one of the meanings of Alif Lam, putting it in front of a word. When there are other types of that word used in one context, yet we want to refer specifically to the last one mentioned. That's one type of the meaning of Alif Lam. Alif Lam can have another meaning, which is comprehensive. Not indicating the last one because we mentioned various types, but we're meaning every single type of something. That is the Alif Lam mentioned here in Alhamd. That we're talking about every type of praise. That's called istighraq. So the author, rahimahullah, said the letters Alif Lam and Alhamd indicate inclusiveness, meaning that every type of praise belongs to nothing and no one other than Allah. As for that which created beings have no part in, like the creation of humankind, the creation of hearing, vision, the heart, creation of the heavens and the earth, provisions, etc., then this is obvious. As for that which created beings are to be praised for, such as esteem of the righteous, prophets and messengers, and the kindness someone has shown to you, then this also belongs to Allah, because He is the one who created them, gave them the means to do their praiseworthy actions, made those actions beloved to them, and gave them the strength to perform them. All of this is from the bounty of Allah, and if any part of it were absent, no praise would be due toward the created beings shown praise. It is in this sense that absolutely all praise belongs to Allah Ta'ala. The author, rahimahullah, continued to say that Allah says, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. As for the name Allah, it is the name of our Lord, the Baraka wa Ta'ala. And the meaning of Al-Ilah, is the deity, the object of worship, that which actions of worship are directed at. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Huwa Allahu fi al-sama'i wal-ard." Huwa Allahu fi al-sama'i wal-ard. And He is Allah in the heavens and the earth, which means He is the one worshipped in the heavens and the one worshipped on earth. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "وَإِن كُلُّ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِي الرَّحْمَنِ عَبْدًا." There is no one in the heavens or the earth except that they shall come to Ar-Rahman, the Most Gracious, as slave. The following two ayat after this. That is from Surah Maryam. So this is what deals with the meaning of the name Allah, Ilah, the Ma'bud, that which is shown worship. So Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Rabb, or the Lord, means the owner and disposer. Alameen, translated as everything in existence, is a noun indicating everything other than Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Everything besides Him, whether it's an angel, a prophet, a human, jinn, or other than that, is owned, subdued, disposed of, and needy. All of them turn to the one who has no partner, owning them, subduing them, disposing of their affairs, and fulfilling their needs. He is Al-Ghani, the rich, the self-sufficient, Al-Samad, the self-sufficient master, to whom all creatures turn, requesting their needs. After that, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned that He is Maliki Yawmiddin, the master or owner of the Day of Recompense. And in another authentic recitation, Maliki Yawmiddin. The first one, Maliki Yawmiddin, which means master, Malik, meaning master or owner, the Day of Recompense. And another authentic recitation, and another valid way of reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, is instead of Maliki Yawmiddin, is Maliki, Maliki Yawmiddin, meaning the king of the Day of Recompense. He mentions in the beginning of this surah, which is the beginning of the Mus'haf, the very first chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha, the beginning of the Mus'haf, His exclusive right to worship, His lordship, and His ownership, just as He mentions in the last surah of the Mus'haf, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. So these three meanings, the exclusive right to worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His uruhiyya, Him being Ar-Rabb, His rububiyya, and Him being the master or the mulk, the dominion belonging to Him. He mentions all of these three meanings, both in Surah Al-Fatiha and in Surah An-Nas. These three shared meanings, which are three distinct attributes, are mentioned in the first Surah of the Quran and the last Surah of the Quran. The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, continued saying, these are three attributes of our Lord, tabaraka wa ta'ala. He mentions them all together in one place at the beginning of the Quran, then mention them again altogether in the very last thing you hear in the Quran. Whoever wants good for himself should pay attention to these places and exert himself in looking for them, knowing that Al-Alim, the All-Knowing, Al-Khabir, the All-Aware, did not mention them together at the beginning of the Quran, then again at the end of the Quran, except due to what he knows of his servant's dire need of knowing the difference between these attributes. Each of these attributes has a very distinct meaning. Just as when one says that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah, Khatam al-Nabiyyin, the seal of the prophets, and Sayyid Walid Adam, the master of the children of Adam. These are three different attributes. Each of them has its own very distinct meaning. The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, continued saying, if you know that the meaning of Allah is Al-Ilah, if you know that what Allah means is Al-Ilah, the recipient of worship, the object of worship, the only thing, worship. You know that Al-Ilah means Al-Ma'bud, that which is worship. And if you know this, and you call upon Allah, you make dua to Allah, or you sacrifice for Allah, or you make a vow to Allah, then you truly know what Allah means. These are acts of worship, and you're directing them solely to Him. You do these acts of worship for Him, then you really understand what it means, Allah. But if you call upon making dua to a created being, whether it's a good being or a bad being, good being like an angel or a prophet, a bad being like some evil person, if you make dua to either of those created beings, or you sacrifice and slaughter to a created being, or you make a vow to a created being, then you have claimed that that created being is Allah. Why? Because Allah means the object of worship. If you direct any act of worship to a created being, you are claiming that that created being is Al-Ilah, the Ma'bud, the object, and the object of worship, the thing that acts of worship are directed at. And Allah is the only object of worship. Whoever knows this, and then makes Shamsan or Taj an object of worship, has claimed that they are Allah. Shamsan and Taj, these were men in the time of the author Muhammad ibn Abdullah, rahimahullah ta'ala. These were men who were commonly believed as Arabs to be, or to have wilaya. They were claimed, they were believed by the locals to be awliya, that is, saints. They were believed to be saints by the locals who had some superpowers. And so they would direct acts of worship to these men. So whoever has done so has known what Bani Israel knew when they worshipped the calf. And once it became clear to them, their fatal mistake, they said, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about them, وَلَمَّا سُقِطَ فِي أَيْدِيهِمْ وَرَأَوْا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ ضَلُّوا. Once it fell in their hands and they saw that they had gone astray, قَالُوا لَئِنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْنَا رَبُّنَا وَيَغْفِرْ لَنَا, they said, if our Lord does not have mercy on us and forgive us, لَلَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, we will surely be amongst the losers. This was a very important note that the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, that is the author of the treatise, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, pointed out in drawing the reader's attention to of these three attributes, lordship, dominion, and worship, which are mentioned both in Surah Al-Fatiha and in Surah Al-Nas, the beginning and the ending of the Quran. Both of these draw the attention of the Muslim to the importance of Tawheed, how the Quran from the beginning to the end and everywhere in between is all about Tawheed and singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with worship. We shall stop here today in the explanation of the treaties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.